worship your holy name. I worship your holy. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, oh my soul. Oh, I worship his holy name. I worship his holy. Sing like never before.
Stress.
awesome you are. And now some sad enough to show how incredible you are. We say, incredible can you try? Just how awesome you are. And awesome sad enough. Incredible you are. So I say, ah, 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 ah. Oh, ah. That's how great. That's how great you are. Oh, so I say. You lift me high, stretch me wide. I am greater because of you. You lift me high, you stretch me wide. I am greater because of you. Oh, you lift me high, you stretch me wide. I am greater because of you. You lift me high, you stretch me wide. Oh, so I say, hey, ah, ah, ah. Ah, that's how great, that's how great you are. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, somebody. And shout in a voice of triumph. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Together and welcome our senior pastor.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Father, giving thanks unto your name. Never has there been any like you. Tonight, as we study, I pray the Holy Spirit gives us some understanding, some wisdom, and then some knowledge about the things of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Have a seat. An awful opportunity every day to learn something from the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
We are taking our scripture from the book of Mark, chapter 8. I'm reading 36 and 37. Mark chapter 8, 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So let's all read it together. Mark chapter 8.
Mark chapter 8.
Verse number 36.
Verse number 36.
For what shall it profit a man?
For what shall it profit a man?
If he shall gain the whole world,
if he shall gain the whole world,
and lose his own soul.
And lose his own soul.
Or what shall a man,
what shall a man
give in exchange for his soul? Amen. Now, these are statements that the Lord Jesus made. Hallelujah. And he made this with reference to how he personally valued the existence of a human being. Praise the Lord. So, every human being born into this world is important to the Lord. So, he's asking, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a very rhetorical question, meaning nothing. Amen. There's nothing that you can actually give in exchange for your soul. Life is priceless. Amen?
Amen.
I say life is what?
Priceless.
But Let me take you back into our natural environment. Now, in many countries of this world, including ours, there's a place that is built, and mostly it is built out of town. Very high walls. It has maximum security, and we put murderers, thieves, covetous people, or basically we put bad people there. Are you listening to me? We are able to build up such a place. There's a movie called Alcatraz. If you have watched it before, you see that they put a prison on an island thousands of miles from land so that no prisoner will escape. Even if you try to escape, you will drown in the sea. And so that area is also shark infested, which means that if you escape, it's likely the sharks will have you for dinner. If it is in the afternoon, you will be a shark lunch. Amen. So we build all these places and keep supposedly bad people there. We keep them, we human beings. In our wisdom, such people should not be amongst us. Are you following my story? So, if we, in our wisdom, are able to do such things, and then we allow them visits, some depending upon the level of offense, one visit a year or once a month, if you have been a very good person and in the prison you are not so bad, maybe your family is allowed to visit you weekly. And sometimes, if you are married, when you are getting to a time when they will parole you or something, your family can spend a day or two in the prison with you. There's a quarters for things like that. So we, in our wisdom, our intellect tells us that don't keep bad people within society and mix them up with good people. Amen. So in the wisdom of God too, He said He created a place called hell. And then that place is meant for the devil and his angels. Are you around tonight? He says He created that specific place for the enemy of our souls, the devil and his angels. It has no physical address. It is a spiritual location. Amen? It has no what? So if you are looking for hell on this earth, you won't find it. In the same way, if you are looking for heaven on this earth, you won't find it. They have spiritual addresses. And as far as I'm concerned, and the Bible is concerned, one is up and the other is down. Hell is located downstairs. Amen. And heaven is located upstairs. I don't have enough time to give you the scriptures, but that's what the Bible says. Whatever the Bible says, as a preacher, I believe. Amen. And it says that there will come a day when our very existence will be withdrawn. Solomon describes it as the day when the silver cord is cut off. A silver cord is like a connection between your navel and the Almighty. It says He breathed into man and we became a living soul. Hallelujah. Are you listening? So it says that there will come a day when the silver cord is broken. And when that day comes, it means that that person, I'm reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6. You can check it out. It says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Somebody can read that for me. Amen.
Amen.
Read it and let me take a breath.
Return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Amen.
Amen. It says, or ever the silver cord be loosed. So one day will come when the silver cord that connects us with the Almighty is loosed. For it to be loosed, it has to be cut off. And the day on which it is cut off, the Bible says the dust shall return to the dust and the soul will have to find its place either in a place with the Almighty or in a place without the Almighty. Without the Almighty means hell. With the Almighty means heaven. Amen. So there's going to come a time, by all means. And Jesus, whilst he was on this earth, he made many, many appeals to people. And at one time, he told one person who came to him by night, Nicodemus. He said, for a man to be saved, such a person must be born again. Everybody say, born again.
Born again.
That person must be born again and must be born of the Spirit. We are first born of man. Jesus said, that is what I'm talking about. Now I want you to be born of the Spirit. You see, Jesus himself can be said to be a son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the book of Luke chapter 1, we are told in verse 35 how Mary got pregnant. He said, you will be overshadowed by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so Jesus was born, basically, let me use the word, impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And for us to get to heaven, he said, you must be born of the Spirit. Amen. For anybody to get to heaven, you must be born of the Spirit. And Jesus called that being born again. First, in the natural. Secondly, in the Spirit. Are you listening to my story? So he says, for you to get to heaven, you must be born of the Spirit. And it is natural that everybody will ask, how can that be? He said, oh, it is no big business. Just all you need to do is to believe in me as the Son of God. If you believe in me and in the works that I do and confess me before all men, you shall be saved.
Amen.
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 Very simple process. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the scriptures keep on talking, and then the Bible, Jesus says that the human soul, it is priceless. So he says, what shall a man gain if you take the whole world upon yourself? Everything, you are working, going, coming, taking this and every day. It says, what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Then he asks again, what shall a man give in exchange for their soul? So God is simply telling us that, look, I value the human being so much because everybody supposedly was created in his image after his likeness. And so there is a value that he places on you. But you see, we all have the ability to make personal decisions. Amen. We all have the what? Ability to make personal decisions. What are some of the personal decisions we make? We can choose to serve God or not to serve God. That is a personal decision that you can make because you have a will. Amen? Yes. So you can say, I will serve God. Or you can say, I will not serve God. It is a matter of choice. And then that is a decision that you can make. So you can also say that I will spend eternity with God in heaven, or for me, there is no heaven and I would like to spend eternity with the devil in hell. And you see, God looks at the unspoken. So if you don't speak out and say that I have accepted Christ today and I'm born again, then what you imply is that I don't believe in Christ. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Amen?
Amen?
The book of John says, in him was life. And the life was the light of this world. So life, existence, only comes through Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? And he said, without me, you can do nothing. So he has made his... Look, people have come onto this earth. They have lived. They have died. Philosophers, whatever, archaeologists and scientists. Nobody has said, I'm the way. Amen? He said, you cannot get to heaven without me. I am the door. He said, I am the door. You come through me. Only through me. Somebody will ask, what about other religions? I don't care about the other religions. I am not interested in what they say. Jesus said, I am the way. Zoroaster never said, I am the way. He couldn't have said that because he died and he died. Amen? Yeah, none of them, all of them, too known, all of them died and they are still there. I'll go to India one of these days, and I'll find some graves. Even Thomas' grave is there. Mahatma Gandhi is there. All of them, their graves are there. I'll personally go and visit them. What a shock. But somebody came and said, I am the way. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I have the ability to take my life. It's fantastic. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody has ever... He said, I lay it down, I take it again. My own life. And everyone was wondering, who is this guy? The Bible says that he spoke with so much authority that people marveled at the kind of intelligence that he had. He said, I am the way. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I have done comparative religion. I've studied other religions. Nobody came out to say, I am the door. What they use is inference. Do you know inference? Like, instead of this, it could have been this. But you died, you didn't rise again. How could it have been something else? Amen? Yes. And history proves that he rose again. And he said, in like manner, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for those who are mine. That is where the problem is. He said, I'm coming back for those who are mine. I'm coming back for my people. Those who are born again. And somebody in a revelation, he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Corruption shall put on incorruption. Mortality shall put on immortality. We shall be changed. And we shall be caught together in the air with the Lord. Can you say amen? He said, at the sound of the trumpet, we shall be changed. You see, that is the hope we have in Christ. The only person to ever defeat death. Hallelujah. But he says that I have a problem with the people who are not saved. And there's nothing I can do about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Sorry, 5. If you know the scripture, just read it for me.
2 Corinthians chapter 5:18. The word of God says, "And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Amen.
He says that all things are of God. He owns all things. He made all things. The book of John chapter 1 says that by him, through him, for him, all things consist. Everything was made. And he says that God, by his wisdom, introduced his only begotten son, one and only. The third book of John, the 16th verse. Everybody knows that scripture. Let's repeat that scripture now. Some people are not saying it. If you don't know, you stand up. So that I pray for you. I was hearing. Was that you? Let me trouble you. Get up and speak nowhere. What is A? Are you forgotten? This scripture, you must know it probably in the language that you were born in. Do you understand? Yeah. If it's Ewe, you rattle it in Ewe. Tree, ga. I wonder how it will sound in Nagbani. Hallelujah. Yeah. I want to give you a reason to exist, a cause to fight for. Something to believe in, amen, and defend with all your life. Can I say amen?
Amen.
I said something to stand upon. I'm inviting you to join the army of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Those who believe in God must stand up and rise and fight to get people saved. He says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they go except they are sent? Somebody must speak. Amen. I said what? Somebody must speak. Somebody must speak. He said, I implore you to speak to other people on my behalf. I want you to get them born again on my behalf. Go to verse 19.
Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen.
Amen. He says he has committed unto us the message, the word of reconciliation. Continue.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Oh, that is the part I'm interested in. He says, now then, we are ambassadors. Ambassadors are spokespeople who speak on behalf of their governments. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is saying, if you believe in me and the work that I came to do, then tell other people about me. Act as my representative. Won't you say amen?
Amen?
So tonight, I said I'm inviting people to stand up for the cross.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I said I'm inviting people to stand up. I don't want cowards. Ask somebody, are you a CC? Do you know what a CC means? I'm not talking about pee waste. Uncle Fred. Do you know who SCC is? You don't. Read the dictionary definition of SCC for me. Hey, Sammy, are you SCC? Me can't say SCC or yo. Are you SCC? Or anti-CC? No. Thank God there's nobody called Cecilia around. Oh, please. Please, I'm waiting for you. Get the definition for me quickly. SCC. And then another word for a CC is a tart. What? We are doing Bible study, so it's all involved. Whatever. Read, if that's the meaning, I'll tell you. Huh? Oh. Yeah, mobile. Or unassertive. That means somebody who is not sure of what they stand for. Amen? You see, when you are unassertive, it's like your yes is... You know, some of the ladies, when you tell them you are falling in love with them and they should give you a response in 3 days. Yes, no, yes, no. Yes, yes, no, no. They are not sure. You see, because when they look at some of you, it's like, you can't take them to the promised land. What a shock. So you make the women go and sit down and do analysis. What a shock. Zoot. They try to place you and compare you. You know, they put you on a scale and begin to compare you. Wow. First, they look at your haircut. Then they look at your footwear. And then they find out if their socks is... Osakba, I don't like that. All I'm doing is teaching. You are laughing like that. The ladies, they do a lot of analysis. So. I have a lot of lady friends, so they tell me. They send me a picture. How do you see this man? Then they check, for instance, when you are close by, your breath. Then the pit of your arm. When a lady brings you a gift of a deodorant, assemble by the bee. So my boys, take heed. My prayer, as always, that you enjoy life. Amen. That means when you pass by, even the perfume that you put on. Let me show you how to do it. You can mix the perfume. Do you understand? Yeah. And they'll never identify your scent. Hey. When you pass by, there must be some. What was I talking about? You see, so look for the meaning of the word tact for me. You see, so you must be assertive. You must be a strong man. The Bible, Paul said you must be a soldier for the Lord. That means that soldiers endure hardship. Amen? Want men to be men. There's a difference between men and boys. Boys play. Men are serious. Amen? Serious people. Some men, the older they get, the more playful they become. They have not been able to achieve anything. They don't do anything. They just exist. Uncle Fred, why are you laughing like that? You must be assertive. What do you stand for? I don't know. I'm not too sure. Which church do you go to? So funny. You have to be sure what you want. Tell somebody you must know what you are looking for. And if Jesus is your Lord, tell the whole world. Amen. If Jesus is your Lord, let the world know. Hallelujah. Let the world know. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they go without being sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel? Hallelujah. I'm not here to talk to you about the benefits of preaching the gospel. No. But I'm just inviting you to join the army. When I was younger, I wanted to join the Ghana Air Force and become a pilot. It didn't work out. But I love flying. Amen? Yeah. And it's actually, if you look at it carefully, anybody who joins the army is like they are signing their death warrant. Yeah, that's why there's no insurance for anybody who is in the army or the police. There's nothing like life insurance for them. When you sign up to join the police or the army, Charlie, you're on your own. Amen. I said what? You are on your own. Yeah. Jesus is your Lord, and that's it. Yeah. Some men of God, they are looking for houses and cars and big time money, cars before they preach the gospel. Yeah. I said, I'm inviting you to join the army of the living God, so that when the saints go marching in, I want to be counted. Hallelujah. Don't be a sissy. Who is a tart? A gossip or something. Give me. Stand up and read it to my hearing. I'm enjoying myself. Give him the microphone. Huh?
Please, I have like 20 definitions.
When you get to where I want, I'll tell you to stop.
Okay. The first one is a slang term for a prostitute.
Yeah, I know.
The second one is a woman who wears too much makeup.
Okay.
Stiletto heels.
At least you're learning something, aren't you?
Stiletto heels, very short skirt, and tight revealing tops, often in animal prints, or generally has too much flesh on display. That's revealing herself as sexually loose or a slut. And then an attractive young woman who either is or is pretending to be a prostitute. A tat is... Okay.
Continue. The other ones.
Okay. All right. There's one that says, a tat is a pastry.
Yes.
A pastry often filled with fruit jam or other fillings. Then... a woman who intentionally appears easy and often too boldly tries to find someone to have sex with, but who is rejected every time.
You're going too far.
And
the definition I want is somebody who has a sharp and unkind quality, who is unassertive. Amen? No choice. Everything is good for them. They don't have a choice. Hallelujah. They are agreeably sharp, and that's it. You see, everybody must know what you stand for. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Anywhere I go, I'm a preacher. Amen? I'm very proud of it. I preach Jesus. Now I'm preaching the cross. Amen? Yeah. When you are in your office and they are talking about stupid things and you are also part of it, are you a Christian? Oh, I think I was. There are certain things that will not be discussed in my presence. No way. Because they know my position. Do you understand? Yeah, if you are a Christian, let the world know who you are and what you stand for, what you believe in. But some of you, the trees will say Muturo Mojo. You don't even understand what you want in this world. When you are in your office and they are talking about girls, you're also talking some. Shame unto you. Hallelujah. Go back to 20 for me. Is that 20? Okay.
It says, now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us.
That is the thing. It's like God, when it comes to people accepting his son, it is like he is begging you. Beseeching means, please, I beg you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is appealing to you. Please, my son is valuable unto me, very precious for me. Let people understand that they need to accept him. If they don't, the Bible says that at the mention of the name, every knee shall bow, now or later. Do you understand? And you see, that other prison which I was describing to you, the Bible says that your webs are alive, they are burning, yet you are not dying. Recently, I was having a discussion with somebody, and they told me about somebody, two people actually, who, because of one thing or other, I don't know why, but it's like, they were not dead, yet they were rotting. And worms were coming out of their bodies. Yeah. It's amazing. Yet they were not dead. And the Bible says that in hell, they feel, they have emotions, they feel the heat. You are burning, not dying. The heat is not abating. That means that never reducing, rather intensifying. And they are screaming. God should give you a vision.
Amen.
When you see how people are suffering. I mean, when somebody dies, all I ask, where? Where's their destination? Recently, my uncle died. I was told on Saturday they buried him. He was a Jehovah Witness. And I sat there, I said, Jehovah Witness. You don't believe in Jesus Christ? He says he's the door. I was sitting there, I was telling my wife, I said, where are you going? It's not about here. Here, I see you, you see me. But there, where are you going? Where to? I'd rather be on the safe side. Do you understand? I said, I'd rather be on the safe side. Accept Jesus Christ and live my life. Because, you see, there's no connection. The only connection we have is in the Bible. It says, one, put your hand in, your little finger in water. I want to taste water, water. There's nothing like that. Nothing. Consistent test. Consistent pain. Worms. Your body. You see your body, the worms. You see them. There are books if you read them. There's a book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Go get it and read the Herbers. Read it and you will see. God gave him a vision, 23 minutes only in hell. The guy has been preaching hell from 1970. He knows all the scriptures about hell in the Bible. Preaching. When I heard him preach, I didn't want to, I want to stop my ear. 23 minutes vision. I pray God will give you a look. You know, a peep. Yeah, as a little window. Just to see. Then you will understand. He says, I beg you, speak to other people because of the sacrifice of my son. The cross of Jesus Christ is only meant to talk about his crucifixion. Paul said, I determined to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. Which means that there's a value. There's a value. There's a value. Peter said, God is speaking. He said, I don't want anybody to perish. That is why I'm delaying the coming or the return of my son. I want people to join the army. We want to take Medina and the rest of the areas for Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for sissies. I'm not looking for tired men and tired boys, boys who are young but tired. I wonder what they use their energy for. I'm looking for people who join the army, who do it for the love of Christ. Amen? Not thinking of what they will get. Because look, let me tell you, in this army, we don't think of what we'll get, we think of what we give. Amen? And the Lord takes care of us. If you are thinking of what you get, join the wrong church. Let's pray. If you want to join the army, stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Father, I pray that even for those who are ready to fight, at the end of it all, we shall say to ourselves, I have fought a good fight. I have run the race. I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering because we did the right thing, made the right choices, and spoke consistently about the kingdom of God. What matters to me is Christ and Him crucified. Nothing more is important. Thank you tonight, even as you made us aware of the sacrifices made by your Son. I know we shall lose some. I know we shall win some. But at the end of the day, we shall win the war. Thank you, and bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus and His cross.
Praise the Lord. Please, you may have your seats. Let's thank the Lord for tonight's word, and let's also thank the Lord and also pray for more anointing upon our pastor's life. And let's also pray that these words that we've heard will sink deep down into our hearts. And like James said, we'll not be only hearers, but practitioners of the word as well.